just laid on my heart today the importance of being good fathers, the importance of being godly men. I think that's something that's lacking in our society. Lacking in many of our churches is that men who will take a stand for the Word of God and who will model that to their kids and generations. So this morning I want to challenge every man in this place. As I said, maybe you have your own kids. Maybe you're a spiritual dad. Maybe you can mentor other dads. The sermon's kind of going to pinpoint right in the middle at those of us who are dads right now and what it means to be a dad and how we can be the best dad ever. Because I believe every man in this room can be the best dad ever. Because who do you have to be the best dad ever to? Just your kids, right? So every one of us can have our kids just say, "Dad, you're the best dad ever," because we're godly men and we're godly fathers. We're godly husbands if we're married. So this morning, if you're past the age of raising kids, then I want you to listen to this message because you can encourage those of us who are still doing it. If you've yet to become a father, then you can lay a foundation so that when God gives you that privilege, you're ready. So I pray whatever stage of life you're in this morning, don't zone out on me. Listen, because there's going to be something relevant to all of us. So this morning we're going to look at what it means to be a godly dad, what it means to be a dad who makes an impact on their kids and in the kids around them. Before we jump onto that, I want to give you a quick quiz. We'll kind of just measure where you're at. So don't answer out loud. Just hear these questions. Start to process in your mind, okay, how do I rank on this? Because these are some of the things that if you want to know if you're being a good dad, if you want to know if you're really impacting your kids, then how can you answer these questions? I just got seven quick questions as a way of introduction, and then we're going to jump into the sermon. But here's the first one. You know you're doing a great job at being a dad when your son or daughter comes running to you when they get hurt. Because who do they normally run to, moms? So you know you're doing something right if your kids will run to you. Actually, these aren't questions. These are just statements, so I misspoke on that. The second one is, you know you're being a good dad when you really listen to your children. When you show them that you're concerned and you care about what they have to say. You make time for them. Third, when your calendar is full of things to do with your children. You don't have to look for that one open date you have in the month that you can squeeze your kid in. You know you're being a godly dad when your calendar is full of events that you do with your kids. Fourth, when you can calmly and gently discipline your children without yelling or screaming. You know you're being a godly dad. Because yes, we're called to discipline our children, but to do it in the right way. Five, when you tuck your children into bed at night and you tell them, "I love you." Dads, can you say that? Repeat after me. "I love you." I heard just men. I just want to hear men say it, right? Heard a lot of women say it. Men, say this. "I love you." You can do it. You can do it. A godly man will tell his kids he loves them. Even tuck them in at night, give them a kiss on the cheek, on the head, whatever you want to do, will show affection to your children. The sixth thing I want you to think about, you know you're doing something right. Do you help your kids with their schoolwork? Or is that mom's job? Depends on the subject, right? Math and science, that's hers. Anything else, I'm willing to give a shot. And seven, here's the most important thing I want you to think about this morning. Do you teach your children absolute truths? Do you teach your children the Word of God? Is it a regular part of your life and your day that you make time to teach your children about God, His ways, His Word? So let's talk about that. Let's look at ways that you and I can become better fathers this morning. And basically, we're going to look at three things this morning. If we want to be the best dad ever in our kids' eyes, there's three things that we have to do. There's no excuses for these. It really all boils down to these three things. Three things you and I have to do if we're going to be the best dad ever to our kids. The first one is, and you can write this on your outline, the first thing you've got to do to be the best dad ever is to lead. You have to lead. You have to lead your family. You have to lead your kids. That can't be your wife's job. That's your job. Men, God has called us to be the spiritual leaders in our homes. And I think it's safe to say many of our families are in the condition they're in. Thank you. Because men aren't being leaders. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but that's driving me crazy, wobbling like that. So, if you know my OCD personality, you knew that was something that I was focusing on. So, David knows me. So, all right. So, we got to be leaders. We got to lead our children in the ways of the Lord. We got to lead them, show them what it means to be a man of God, so that as they grow and as they mature, just like baby Bo, we want to be laying a foundation on them so that one day when they cry out to God, it's just a natural thing that happens because it's so normal to be a child of God because that's all they've ever seen from their dad. We've got to lead in our homes, in our churches, in our communities. Men, we've got to be the leaders because God has called us to do that. So real quickly, I want to talk about those three areas. Kind of an all-encompassing thing. Three areas that you and I as men have got to be leaders in. The first one you see on your outline, A, we've got to be leaders first and foremost in our homes, in your home. That's where it starts. God has called you to be the spiritual leader in your home. In your home. Like it or not, this is what God's Word says. We'll give you just a couple of verses. Ephesians 5, 23 through 24 says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband." Now, let me tell you what the word husband literally means. The word husband literally means a manager. Literally means a steward, a caretaker. Meaning, God says, the husband, it's your job to be responsible for your family. Responsible for your wife. You are the manager of that home. God has given you that responsibility this morning. It's time we understand that, and it's time we step up and be the leaders that our wives and our kids needs us. This word husband implies leadership. Leadership. It also says head, the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife. Again, that means, we're equal in God's eyes, but there are different roles. God has given the man the headship in the home to be the leader. It literally means the director, the chief, the headmaster, the principal. So guys, here's a fun thing you can do when you get home. Hey, say, hey, honey, you know, since God's given me the spiritual authority to lead our home, why don't you just start calling me chief? Just call me chief, right? Because literally the word head means chief. Sure, chief. How many wives do you think you're going to do that? Yeah. Yeah, I know. Probably wouldn't recommend doing that, but I would recommend being a leader in your home. Leading your wives. Leading your kids. Understanding you have that responsibility to God. And it's not about a title. It's not about a position that you say, oh, look at me, I'm the leader. It's about leading under God's authority to make sure your family is where it needs to be in God's eyes. It's on you. It's a tough job, but God's given you the responsibility for how the ship of your home is run. Look what it says in Ephesians 5:25. Again, tells us how we're to lead. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So this is not a domineering, I am he-man, wah, type leader, right? This is a sacrificial servant leadership. It says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Laid down his life for the church, right? So the next thing you see on your outline is we are to sacrificially lead our homes as a servant. We are to sacrificially lead our homes as a servant. This leadership has the idea of responsibility, duty, and sacrifice, not rank or domination. It's not saying, look at me, I'm the head. It's saying, God has placed me in charge of this family, and I'm going to do everything I can to lead us the way that he wants to. I'm going to sacrifice my wants and my desires for my wife and my kids. I'm going to make sure that they know how important they are to me, that their schedule is more important than mine, that if I have to say no to 1,000 things to say one yes to them, I'm going to do it because I'm the leader. And I'm going to model Christ's love to my family and sacrificially lead them, sacrificially love them, and serve them. Husbands, for too long we've relied on our wives to serve us. The Bible says we need to serve them. How does that have anything to do with being a father? Serving your wife. Well, guess what you're constantly modeling to your kids? What it means to be a husband and wife. And did you know that your little kids are sponges? You know, you take a sponge and you dip it in water. What does that sponge do? Absorb all that water. Then you take that sponge out of the water and you wring it out. What happens to all the water? It comes out. So if I were to take your kids and I were to dip them in the water of your relationship with your wife and pull them back out and wring them out, what would it look like? Would it look like Ephesians chapter 5? Or would it look completely different? Because listen, dads, how we treat our wives is modeling something to our kids who are watching. Boys or girls, they're seeing what a godly husband, what a godly father is. They're soaking up everything. So I start here with your relationship with your wife because that came before your relationship with your kids, right? And God places the preeminence on that relationship. That's the most important human relationship we have, is our spousal relationship. But when God blesses you with kids, your kids are soaking everything up, and they're watching how daddy treats mom and how mom treats dad. They're watching the importance you put on that relationship and how you parent. They're watching and soaking up everything. So think about this. When you wring your kids out, what's going to come out? Because a lot of times how our fathers were is how we tend to be. And I don't know about you, but I want my kids just to squeeze out Jesus when they squeeze me out, right? And when I squeeze them out, I just want to see godly things come out of them because I've modeled that. Men, are you modeling godly things for your wife and for your kids because you are called by God to be the leaders in your home? I shared this verse earlier, Ephesians 6:4. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So when you wring your kids out, did the discipline and instruction of the Lord just come right out of them? Are you investing in them? Are they getting more of Jesus or more of you? You say, wait a minute, I don't understand that. See, as much as I invest into my kids, I want to be investing Jesus into them. Modeling what it means to be a Christ follower. Modeling what it means to model my life after Him. So when they squeeze my kids, I want Jesus to be flowing out, not Scott, because there's a lot wrong with Scott. And if I try to do things my way, apart from God's way, that's going to mess them up, right? But if I can invest into them and teach them about the Lord so that when you wring them out, you see the Lord. That's a win for us dads, amen? Raise them, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Don't provoke your children to anger. That means don't lead them in such a way that at some point they resent you. At some point they're angry at you because you're not investing in them. You're not showing them that they're important. You're not spending the time they need. And I know there's probably many of you sitting in this room today that you resent your earthly father because he did not invest in you. He was not a godly man. He never told you he loved you. Listen, dads who are in here today and you're raising kids right now, don't ever, ever, ever let your kids grow up that way. Don't provoke them to anger, resentment, but fill them with the love of the Lord as you model that to them. You understand that? Are you with me on that? Say amen if you are. So teach them about the Lord and His ways. Bring them up in His instruction. I just read this verse as well, but I'm going to hit it one more time here for you because, again, as leaders, as spiritual leaders in our home, we got to make sure we understand what Deuteronomy 6 says. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart." So again, it all starts with your relationship with the Lord. If you want to be a godly husband, a godly father, you first got to be a child of God. You've got to be searching hard after Him, running hard after Him, zealous for Him, spending time daily with Him, loving Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. As I've said before, when you love God with everything that you have, then when you love your wife and your kids, it's not your love, because you've given all that to God. But you know what kind of love you're loving your wife and kids with when you're loving God with everything you have? You're loving them with His love. As I give everything to God, He fills me. And then that spills out into my wife and kids. And let me tell you something. The love that God gives me and works through me to love my wife and my kids is much better than the love that I could ever have. So love Him first. But then look what it says in verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. That means it takes effort. Diligently, you've got to make this a priority, Dad. You've got to make it a priority to lead your homes and to lead your kids. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. That means every moment of every day, you're looking for ways to teach your kids about the Lord. That is not my responsibility primarily. It's not your life group teacher's primary responsibility. It's not your kingdom kids, Calvary kids' responsibility. What they're learning right now is great, but it's only supposed to supplement, dads, what you're teaching them about the Lord. Because as fathers, we have the primary responsibility to teach our kids about the Lord. And this implies it's all the time. No matter where you are, what you're doing, that's your responsibility. So dads, this morning, I encourage you, are you leading your kids? Do you pray with them on a daily basis? Do you read God's Word with them on a daily basis? Are you teaching them spiritual life lessons on a daily basis? Be diligent about it. That means make time for it. Put effort into it. Strain to make it happen. Because God has given us that mandate, that privilege. Lead, lead, lead. A couple of years ago, and I won't tell you which kid did this, but one morning when I got up on Father's Day, I had this card. And you can't hardly read it, but it says, I love you, and I've kept this. It says, you rock. I like that. I like to rock. You rock. Dear Dad, thank you for teaching me about God and for taking care of me. If I live to be 150, this is probably the most meaningful card I've ever gotten from one of my kids, because the primary thing it thanks me for is for teaching them about God. And I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. There are days I don't invest in my kids the way I should. But this is where it's at, folks. I realize that I have a command from God to lead my family, to lead my wife, to teach my children about Him. So I strive for this. And dad, every dad in here, I hope you strive for it too. That no matter how fun you are, and I hope I'm pretty fun, no matter how silly and annoying you are, and I do that a lot with my kids, no matter how much you're involved with their school, with their sports, and you know, I'm a fanatic when it comes to being involved with my kids' sports. What I want them to remember more than anything else about me is that I love the Lord, and I invested that into them. I taught them about the Lord. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else is more important than that. Are you with me, dads? I don't show you this to say, oh, look at me, because again, I fail all the time at this. But again, if you take your kids and wring them out, what's coming out? It's what you're putting in. Let it be God that's flowing out of them. Primarily, men, we've got to be leaders in our home. Secondly, I want to talk about briefly that we have to also, as godly men, be leaders in your churches, in our church. Why is this important? Because this is modeling to kids what a believer looks like. A believer is not one that just sits at home and worships the Lord. The believer is one that comes together with God's people because God's word commands that. And God also commands that men are to be the leaders of their church. So men, are we setting an example to our kids to show them how important it is for us not only to lead our homes, but to lead our churches? To take the initiative in making sure our families come to church, are active in church, that they see church as important to us. Because again, they're absorbing everything and they're always watching. A couple of statistics that I found say this. The average U.S. worship service draws an adult crowd that's 61% female and 39% male. About 90% of the boys who were raised in church abandon it during their teens and their 20s. Most never return. This Sunday in America, 6 million married women will worship without their husbands. That's 1 out of 5. Most church-going guys are lifers who grew up in the church. Men, statistically, are the hardest group to reach. Here's something else that should hit every one of us hard. Less than 10% of churches can maintain a thriving men's ministry. So if men are called to be leaders in their homes and in their churches, what's up? Because we're not doing it. Statistics show that on the average, men are not being the leaders that God has called us to be in our churches. Now, I can't speak for any other church in America, but I'm going to speak for this one. And I want to say, church, men, can we turn that upside down? Can we let this church set the example to every other church of what it means to have men who are active and who are serving and who are leading and modeling to their children what it means to be a church member, to be somebody who is active and serving, using the gifts God has given them in the church? Can it be dads who are up on Sunday morning saying, get up kids, it's time to go to church, and we're excited to go worship the Lord with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Don't let dad be the last one out of bed, mom saying, come on, if you don't get up now, we're going to be late. Dads, beat everybody up. Get up, get your kids' clothes ready, iron your kids' clothes, fix breakfast, do whatever you can, and say, kids, this is the best day of the week because we get to go worship the Lord with our brothers and sisters. Men, can we take the lead in showing our kids how important this is to us? You've already leading in your home. You're teaching about the Lord. You're modeling that before them. But are you showing them how important it is to gather with His people? Because if I'm not mistaken, I believe God commands us to do this, right? Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day drawing near, the day of Christ's return. God commands us to come together and worship, come together and connect. Men, are you setting the example of how important that is to your kids? Don't be complaining and saying, oh, such a beautiful day. Only day of the week we got to sleep in. Oh, kids, you'll understand. We love the Lord. If you love the Lord, are you following His word? It's okay to have vacations. I get that. But make it a habit to be in God's house with God's people and let your kids see your excitement about it. Because, again, they're absorbing everything you do. They're absorbing it. They're watching. They're learning. Guys, we also need more men who will step up into leadership positions in the church. If you're not serving somewhere as a man of God, shame on you. Find where you're gifted, plug in, and model to your kids what it means to use the gifts and the abilities God has given you, and He's given those gifts and abilities to you to serve in a local church. Are you doing that? Find a place to plug in and show your kids how important it is to be plugged in and active in God's body. Men, we've got to stand up. We've got to be leading our kids, showing them the importance of corporate worship, showing them the importance of serving, giving, ministering, praying, visiting those who are sick, going out on mission trips, Men, take the lead in your homes, in your church. But finally, to be the best dad ever, you got to model to your kids what it means to lead in your community. Once we hit these three, it's about everywhere ever you could go, right? To model leadership. Lead in your home, in your church, in your community. What does this mean? How do we lead in our community? Well, this includes your work. This includes when you're at the store, on the highway, when you're puttering along, and somebody flies by you and almost cuts you off, and the first thing you think to do is to say, ah! You been there? You're modeling right then and there to your kids, right? On your jobs, your work attitude. Do your kids see you excited that God has provided you a job? And He's provided you to go and to serve Him at your job. You're working as to the Lord, whatever your job is. Do your kids see that? Do they think, oh, I'm so proud, I'm so grateful that God's given me this job so I can provide for my family? Do they see your excitement when you get up and go to work? Do they hear you come home and tell stories of how you witnessed to your coworkers, or how you prayed for your coworkers, or how Friday night we're inviting Bob and Sue to come over because they don't know the Lord and we want to form a relationship with them to teach them about Jesus? Do your kids see you professing and living out your faith in your community, at your job, in your schools, at the store, at sporting events? Do they see you as the example that's out there cheering on your kid? Whether they're an all-star or whether they're a bench rider, are you cheering on your kid? Now, I'm going to step on my own toes when I start talking about sports. Because this week, I was on the phone with Kim because she had a migraine and couldn't go, and we were in Bartow with the all-stars and my son was playing. And he's not in here so I can tell this story, but don't tell him this story. He's a catcher. He's a very good catcher, better than I ever was at his age. But he let one ball go by him. And this is the All-Stars, and old dad's thinking, and every time he goes out there, I say, be a brick wall, son. Nothing by you. But one got by him, and I just happened to be making the mistake of talking to his mother at that time when that ball went by him, and I said, Joseph, don't let another one go by you. You can't do that, son. And me, I'm saying, I'm encouraging my son. He wants to hear it from me, not his coach. And I'm just saying, okay, just, hey, you got to lock it down, man. The old dad's encouraging. And she's like, I can't believe you just yelled at your son like that. In front of all those people. And that hit me. So wives, listen to your husbands, listen to your wives. They can hold us in check with some things we don't see. I get very active in sports. I get very vocal. There's been several times this year she's had to pull me back and say, wait a minute, maintain your, not at my son, but at bad calls, umpires. They do make these bad calls. And I about jumped out to one the other day, but she pulled me back, said, wait, stop, stop, stop. And I was like, oh, you're right. Because again, in every one of these situations, we're modeling Christ to our kids and to the rest of the kids on that team. So in my mind, I was just trying to encourage my son, but it could very well listened and sound like to other people that I'm getting on him for making one mistake. That was never my intent, but what my wife called me on it, and I said, you know, you're right. So then immediately when they came off the field, I went and talked to my son and just said, hey, I'm sorry I yelled at you like that. I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. So guys, all I'm saying to you is always be aware of your surroundings. That you belong to Christ, and whatever we are, whatever we're doing, we're supposed to model that to our kids. I don't want my son to grow up, yell at his son who made a mistake on the field, right? I want to be an encouragement to him. Now, if he does wrong, I correct him. But maybe we can do it a different way. So we've got to be leaders in our community. We've got to show other kids what a godly father looks like, because you know what? A lot of kids in our community have no idea what a godly man looks like because they don't live with one and they have none in their family. So then when they see us and how we love our kids, we're modeling to them what a normal godly relationship is that they've never seen. And when you invite these kids over to your house, man, love on them. Show them God loves them. We got to take the initiative Just like this foster kids ministry that we had yesterday. What an awesome opportunity for us to love on some kids. And I'm not saying anything bad about the foster parents. But we've got to have our eyes open to kids who are in need in our community and show them what godly men look like. Because a lot of the kids in foster, they got good godly parents now, but they didn't have that before. So they come to church and they see godly men playing with them, showing them our tadpole sanctuary out there. You know, they like that stuff. And these men are taking the time to invest in them. Men, are you investing in the kids in your community who may not have a godly man in their life? We're called to lead in our homes, in our churches, in our community. Constantly making an impact for Christ. So that's leading. Second thing you have to do to be the best dad ever is to love. To love. I promise it gets quicker from this point. First thing to be the best dad ever, your kids have to see you leading in your home, in your church, in your community. Now they've got to see you loving. They've got to see you're loving. I alluded to this, but I'm going to hit this a little bit closer to home for a moment. Guys, I know we have emotions. I know we get excited. I can watch a baseball or football game with you, and I can tell that you have emotions. But I wonder, do your kids know that you have emotions? Do your kids know that you love them? Is there any doubt in your child's mind whether you love them or not? If there is, you're doing something wrong. We have to show our kids that we love them. We have to be willing to say, I love you. As a man of God, our kids should never say, I have never heard my dad say I love me, that he loves me. Say it till they're sick of it. When they're around their friends, you know, and they're getting to be the teenage years like some of my kids are, you know, every time, hey, I love you. And they'll be like, oh, Dad. But you know what? I'd rather be like old dad than to be sitting alone saying, why does Bill tell his daughter that he loves her, but I've never heard my dad tell me I love them. I want to tell my kids I love them so much that they just say, stop, we know. Right? But see, we've got to get past just saying it, right? On your outline it says you must also show your love through your actions. Talk is cheap. You can say, I love you all day long, but if your life doesn't show that, it doesn't register. 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And listen, in the parental relationship, this is key. You can't just say, I love you, kids, but I never spend time with you. I never talk to you. I never pray with you. I never come to your games. I never come to your recitals. I never just take you out on daddy-daughter dates or daddy-son dates. I love you, but my life doesn't show it. There's a conflict, a huge contradiction. So not only must we tell them, and yes, we've got to tell them, but more importantly, we've got to show them so that your kids know without a shadow of a doubt you love them because you invest in them. Maybe your kids are grown, and you don't get to see them that much. Well, you still love them, right? Call them. Check on them. Talk to them. Say, hey, I'm still your dad. I still love you. I want to spend time with you. When are you coming home to see me? Make surprise visits to go see them. But while they're in your nest, tell them constantly you love them, but show them through your actions how much you love them. And one way that we do show our kids we love them is by being willing to godly discipline. Look what it says in Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Now I want you to write a scripture down because we're not going to go there today. Hebrews 12:7-10. I want you to read that. And it speaks of how God disciplines us, but it does that in correlation to how we discipline our own kids. So godly discipline is something that God expects from parents. Not godly abuse, not losing your temper, not blowing up, as I said earlier. But we are commanded to discipline our children. Why is that? Because God disciplines us, right? And it says, by disciplining them, we show them we love them. We show them we love them. Now, let me speak real quick, and I know I'm running out of time and need to be moving on, but I got to say this. Because so many parents think it's showing love to them not to discipline your kids. You want to be their friends. You want them to think you're cool. You want them to like you, but listen, I want my kids to like me too. But more importantly, I want them to know I love them enough to discipline them if I see something that's not right there. Because God does that to me. When I go off track, God disciplines me and He shows me where I'm wrong. I want my kids to know I love them enough to discipline them because believe it or not, and your kids may not think this, but one day they will, as a parent, you know more than they do. And kids, if you're in here, listen to me. Your parents know more than you do right now. I was a teenager. I didn't think they did, but guess what? I learned that they did. And here's what I never, ever, ever, the thought gives shivers down my spine when I think of this. I don't want to see my kids going off track and not have the guts to step in because of my love for them, but to say, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to make them upset with me. And I let them keep going and keep going and keep going. And it spirals and spirals and spirals. And 20 years from now, they look me in the eye. And their life has just been in shambles. And they understand the truth of God now because at some point He got a hold of them. And they come and look at me and say, Dad, you knew better. Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you try to stop me? Why didn't you discipline me? I never, ever want to hear one of my kids look me in the eye and say, Dad, why didn't you love me enough to discipline me? They may get angry. My kids have never said this, but I know some kids scream out, I hate you, when you discipline them. But ultimately, I want them to come back to me and said, you know what? There was a period, man, when I was just being a jerk to you. But thank you for towing the line. Thank you for disciplining me because now I realize it was your love. And it kept me from getting who knows where. Now, parents, we can't live in the past, can we? Are we ever commanded to live in the past in Scripture? No. So maybe you've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. But what God holds us accountable for is what we do now moving forward. So if you're hearing me say this, don't beat yourself up and say, you know what, as a parent, I should have done more of that, right? Well, here's what you do from this point on. Make it right. Make it right. Go to your kids and say, you know what? And I've had parents come to me and say, you know what? I had to go to my kids and say, I'm sorry I wasn't a better dad or better mom. I came to know the Lord later in life, and I realized I made a lot of mistakes. But now I want to pour into you as much as I can so you don't make the same mistakes with your kids that I made with you. You know what that is? That's called discipleship. Even with your own kids, if they're grown, you can still disciple them. Amen. God works all things to the good, and then our worst mistakes can be our biggest ministries. So don't sit here today and beat yourself up if you've made mistakes as a parent, because guess what? We all have. The question is, how do you move forward? If your kids are 5, 10, 50, how do you move forward and demonstrate a godly parent for the rest of their life and yours? Because you can do that, right? And there's this thing called grace, right? That God forgives us of our mistakes. And His mercies are new every morning. So my challenge to you is wherever you are right now, whatever mistakes you've made and I've made as parents, let's commit before the Lord not to make any more or to make minimal amount and to be the best examples of love and leading to our kids as we possibly can be. Amen. Final thing, then we're done. Not only must you lead your children, not only must you love your children, but if you want to be the best dad ever, you've got to learn. You've got to learn. You've got to learn. This is where the grace comes in. You can't be a godly father. You can't be a godly husband. You can't be a leader if you're not first a follower. So dads, the last thing I want to challenge you with this morning is making sure you are a good follower of Jesus Christ. If not, you'll never be the dad He wants you to be. Never. You'll never love or lead your kids the way He wants you to be or the way they need to be led apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every day, you and I should be growing more and more and more and more like Him. Every day. So the most important thing you can do, Dad, as a husband is spend more time with God. The most important thing you can do, Dad, as a father, is spend more time with God. The most important thing you can do, Granddad, is spend more time with God. The most important thing you can do, life group teacher, is spend more time with God. You see, if we spend more time with God, loving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we're going to be better husbands, better fathers, better grandparents, better teachers. You with me on that? This is where it all comes together, is your own relationship with God. You look at your life and you're seeing some mistakes you're making as parents, then maybe go back to your relationship with God and say, God, I need help here. I need to surrender this to You. I need to be discipled. I need to talk to godly men who've been where I'm at and can help me. There's no shame in that. Older men, your kids are gone. Your grandparents now, maybe your kids live across the country, but there are young men here that you can invest in to help them be better fathers right here, right now. Model your relationship to Christ with them. We need each other. Final thing I want to talk to you about, you see this is the last thing on your outline. This is a word that makes many men cringe and sweat and feel queasy in their stomachs, but it's a word that you need to know frontwards and backwards. Some of you are thinking, oh no, what is this? The word I'm about to tell you can just change and revolutionize the way you are as a godly man. We run from it. We don't enjoy it. But it's truth, because God's word says it is. Anybody want to guess what that word is? Okay, I'll tell you. That word is accountability. Accountability. I don't like that one. That means I got to go talk to some other guy and confess the things that I'm messing up with, confess areas that I need help. I hate doing that. Well, you know what? You may hate it, but is it beneficial for us to do that? Absolutely. We need accountability. Men, say that word with me, accountability. Now say this, I need accountability. Okay. All right, wives, children, look at your husband and father right now. And men, I want you to say this again. On the count of three. One, two, three.
I need accountability.
So if you need something, shouldn't you do something about it? So what I want you to do, and you've got witnesses now that heard you say you need it, I want you to find it. In the fall, we're going to be kicking off our men's ministry here at Calvary. We're working on that diligently, because I don't want to be one of those 10% of churches that can't keep one going. I want to see a vibrant men's ministry in this church. Women are just trucking along, man. They're making us look bad, men. We're going to get that right. And we're going to outdo them. But a part of that's going to be accountability. I want you to connect with one or two godly men who you can just tell anything and everything to. And it'll stay there with those men, but those men can help you and challenge you and ask you about the areas do you struggle in. Hey, did you do this week? Or you say, hey, are you struggling? You say, I'm struggling with this. The next time you get together, how's that going? Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Men, do we need to be sharpened? We see the statistics of what's happening in our churches, in our nation. And I'm convinced it's because of not enough men are leading in their homes, showing sacrificial love to their wives and kids, and they're not, most importantly, learning from the Master. So dads, I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord this morning. I don't know the mistakes you've made, but I know moving forward where you can be sold out for Jesus Christ. And if you're sold out for Jesus Christ, that's going to impact how you are as a husband, how you are as a father, in your home, in your church, in your community. And we're going to turn this whole statistical nightmare of men and churches and everything upside down. Because we're going to get it right, men. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you committed to being the man that God has called you to be? If you are, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand up, come to this altar, and commit yourself to God before your wives who are in here, before your kids who are in here. And I don't care if you're 25 years old or 105 years old. If you want to be a godly man and have an influence in your community, in your home, and in your church, I'm going to ask you to take that first step this morning and say yes and come and bow at this altar. And I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you repeat after me. I'm going to have you talk to the only one who can truly make you that man of God. So if you want to come together, you want to pray together, but we're going to play a song here to end. Not even going to have the worship team come up, because I want every man, even if you're on the worship team, to say, I'm serious about being a godly man, a godly husband, a godly father, a godly grandparent, a godly community man, whoever, just a godly man. So we're going to have this playing with a video. And I'm going to ask you, don't hesitate. If you want to be more of a godly man and impact your kids and future generations, then as soon as it comes, you come and pray at this altar and commit yourself to our Lord this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we just pray this morning that we would take the challenge that you've given us seriously this morning, that we will commit ourselves to being more like you, to learning from you, to loving you more, so that we can truly be the leaders you've called us to be in our homes, in our churches, in our communities. And God, we can truly love our kids the way that we need to love them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.